Today's reading is from Jonah chapter 2, and it's on page 297 in the Pew Bibles. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me deep into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me, and all your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord.
Imagine, if you would, that this vertical line is your life. That's as artistic as it's going to get this morning. But imagine it if you can. Up here, everything is going well. Maybe it's a little bit of your life. Hopefully it's a bit more than that. Maybe it's a great deal. But anyway, above that line, everything is going well. Things are good. You feel like you're in control. But down here, this is where Jonah is in the reading we've just heard from God's word. Things are not going well. They've been going wrong, maybe for years and years. Maybe they've just started to go wrong this morning. Maybe that's a lot that's down here. Maybe it's just a little thing that's going wrong. For Jonah, it's a big thing. This can happen very, very quickly. Some years ago, I met somebody who told me the story, a true story, of theirs on a long-haul flight, which got into a violent storm. And the airplane was being buffeted by strong winds, a very scary situation, which suddenly got a whole lot more scary when an alarm sounded of the aircraft and this voice that repeated and repeated, "Brace, brace." And he said that the reaction of the passengers was very enlightening. Some turned immediately to prayer. As someone has said, no one is an atheist in an aircraft that hits turbulence. And this was the case. A whole aircraft suddenly finding themselves in the place of distress. 2,400 years ago, the Old Testament prophet called Jonah has this experience. If you have your Bibles, on page 927 is the church Bible page number. Turn to it. "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he heard my cry." This morning, God's word invites us, I believe, you and me, to go on what I'm calling the Jonah journey. The Jonah journey. And this journey begins down here, in the place of distress, trouble, turbulence. I am guessing, wherever you are at in your life right now, one thing we all have in common, whether you are someone who's known God as Jonah did for years and years and years, and cried out to him, and experienced his power in your life, as many of us here have, or whether, if to be honest, you've never actually called out to the Lord, nevertheless, this we have in common. I assume that we know places, situations in our lives of distress. Jonah is there for a reason we heard about last week. His story is told in chapter 1. He's a man, as I say, who's known God's power in his life, and God has a word for him in chapter 1 to go and do his work in Nineveh. But that sounds to Joseph like a pretty difficult mission that's going to put him down here, and he wants to live up here, and so he runs away from God. Lesson 1, don't do that. It lands him in a whole lot of turbulence. This happens if you try to run away from God. He lands in turbulence of a naval kind. The ship he's on sailing away from Nineveh gets into this storm. He's thrown overboard and he is swallowed by a great fish, which is where the Jonah journey I'm describing today begins. Here's how he puts it. From the depths of the grave, verse 2, he's calling for help. He is way out of his depth, verse 3, hurled into the deep. The earth beneath barred me in forever, verse 6. He's hit rock bottom. He's in a place which feels hopeless and helpless. Where are you in a place of turbulence? When you came in, you were given a little sheet of paper. Can you get it? Can you grab the sheet of paper? And what I'm going to invite you to do, you don't have to do this, but what I'm going to invite you to do, and nobody else is going to see it, is to put on that sheet of paper one situation in your life right now that is somewhere down here. If it's not as turbulent as Jonah's situation, it's nevertheless a place which needs breakthrough, which needs help. Now, there's a pen somewhere in your row of chairs. Now, if you like, even though nobody else is going to see it, you could just put one letter symbolizing whatever comes to your mind. It could be W for work, for example. You are looking for a paid place of work and you can't find one. It's a place of distress. Or you're at work, paid or unpaid, and there is a distressing situation down here that puts you here. Maybe you put the letter F for family. If there's a situation in your family that is distressing, maybe it's been there for years and years and years. Maybe yours is what Jonah's would be, the letter G for guilt, because you know you've messed up and it seems there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Or it could be I for illness of yourself, someone you love. Whatever it is, I'm just asking you to write it on that sheet of paper, or not to think it in your head, as a way of identifying with Jonah. Jesus knew many distresses in his life, which he called out to God for. I'm simply asking you to think of one situation. I could think of quite a few that I could put. Where the Jonah journey begins, in what feels like the depths of the grave, the bottom of the sea, where the earth bars him in forever. He cries out to God. He uses the language of the Psalms that he knows through and through to describe his situation. In my distress, verse 2 he says, I call to the Lord. And the word for distress he uses is a Hebrew word called misera. Probably pronounced differently from that because I don't speak Hebrew, but nevertheless, that's what it is, phonetically anyway. Misera. What is your misera? It's a word used in the Psalms by King David, Psalm 143, verse 11. He prays, God, bring me out of my misera by your righteousness. The writer of the Proverbs says, those who are in their misera and trust their lives to the righteousness of God will be saved. In every age, from the beginning of time, God has invited his people to call out to him, to meet with him, that they may know, as Jonah will discover. He's discovered it before, but he needs his relationship with God renewed again. That the Lord is my salvation. You may never have been swallowed by a whale, and nor have you been called to preach in Nineveh, but you and I have surely been in situations, surely, where unless God breaks in, there's no way out. Does that make sense? Where unless God breaks in, there's no way out. This is where Jonah is in. And in a few minutes' time, I'm going to ask you, if you want to hand in this slip of paper, maybe with your one letter on it, or whatever you've put. And we're going to collect those slips of paper and put them in here. This is my fire bowl. A symbolic way of crying out to the Lord to commit all our miseras to God, who breaks in and breaks through to set fire to them. Fire is one symbol in God's word of his love and power. And God's fire removes all that keeps us from him, and he longs to fire up his people with a holy fire of hope and healing, all those who commit themselves to him. The Bible teacher and leader Graham Cook describes Jesus as the greatest arsonist in history, meaning this, that he wants to burn up and destroy all that separates us from God, to restore us and establish us as children of God, and to send us out with the same commission he gives to Jonah as to you and me in the fire of his spirit. You see, the local fire service have told us we need a fire drill so they can help to save us. But our fire drill, when we're going out in a few minutes' time, is because we're doing this as a sign of the God who's already saved us and calls us to go out with his spirit fired up by that truth. The Jonah journey begins here, in the place of distress. Lord, you listened to my cry, verse 2. Or as a verse in the Psalms puts it, you brought up my life from the pit, that Jonah quotes in verse 6. It may be our own mistakes, as was the case for Jonah, that have put us in a pit. It might be where we have been sinned against, or circumstances who have put us in a pit where we feel trapped as Jonah did, confined with no way out. But here's Jonah's testimony, his discovery that he's already experiencing as he encounters God in the pit, that there is no pit too deep for God not to go into. Jesus descended to the dead and was raised from the dead. And he is in the business of raising people. He redeemed my life from the pit. This is Jonah's experience. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus' resurrection. Like Jesus, he spends a part of 3 separate days in the whale. And Jesus, as recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, he says that the sign of Jonah is what will happen to him, the Son of Man, who will be 3 days in the heart of the earth before he's raised. When Jesus' blood is shed and his body broken on a cross, it looked like Jesus was the victim of sin, the world, and the devil. But God raised him in victory. Is that not true? God raised him in victory, not of a domineering, pride-producing kind, but of the kind of a father lifting his beloved child out of a pit we've fallen into. Out of my misera, out of your misera, he listens to our cry as surely as he heard Jonah's cry. As surely as a good parent hears their child's cry in any pit they are in. His ear is turned towards you. On the first Saturday of January 2004, I was in a pit of a particular kind. There was a big problem in the parish in Crawley, where I was a vicar. It had been going on for 6 months, and like pressure was building up. And one, so that was down here on that, and one of the few things that was going well in my life up here was running. And on this particular Saturday, 2004, it was running for Crawley Athletic Club in the county championships. Might have told this story before, can't remember. Anyway, I was running for the team, hoping to win the county championship on Bexhill Common. On lap two, my hamstring goes, so I just couldn't carry on. I limped out of the race. The one thing I thought I could do, I messed up and blown the chance of the club of winning the county championships. I'm going to go over onto this running. Okay. So here I am, and I find if I'm on my own and in a bad place down here, it helps me to walk. So I am walking around with a limp and only one hamstring, Tilgate Lake, which is often where I went in Crawley, to pray to God. And the most audible time I have heard God's voice was in that moment, when everything is going wrong. And he said to me a verse, a truth I hadn't registered before. It was from the Word of God, 1 Samuel 17:47. The battle belongs to the Lord. A reason I think it was really God is because I hadn't really noted that truth before. The battle belongs to the Lord. And things in my circumstances didn't change like that. It took 3 hours for the county championship to be sorted when the winning team was disqualified. They had somebody who was ineligible to run. That got sorted pretty quickly. The problem in the parish, that took another 2 years. Some seasons are a long battle, but you and I and Jonah needed to know the battle belongs to the Lord. Before Jonah has been spat out by the whale, he knows the Lord has heard my cry. The Lord has broken in to his lament, to his pit, to his misera in the belly of the whale. He's already having his prayer turn into one of thanksgiving because he's encountering Jesus in his pit. Jesus, with the love of your Father, my Father in heaven, hallowed be his name, wants to meet with us for the battles we are in, whether they are spelt out by G or I or F or W or whatever they look like in the landscape of your life. The battles belong to him. Salvation is the Lord's. He hears your cry. This assurance was the next part of Jonah's journey. And the last part is in verse 10. Can you see that, verse 10? What happens? He spits Jonah out onto the land. Well, actually, it says he vomits Jonah out. Jonah is called to do what he was meant to be doing in the first place, to live out this salvation, what he's received from this encounter with Jesus in the belly of the whale. He's called to live it out and to tell it out to the people of Nineveh. The safest place, the best place any of us can possibly be, where we receive God's blessing, where we recognize that actually he is in control because every battle belongs to him. The best place is where he calls us to be, even if it's the last place Jonah originally wanted to go. The capital of the hated Assyrians, Nineveh. God has a great work for him to do there. Jonah's journey, the journey of Jonah, begins in the pit where he's trying to run away from God.
He meets with God, who meets him in the pit. And then he's sent out by God with the salvation that he's received. And it's not something simply to receive, it's to live out. Jonah comes out of the whale, vomited out, a changed man. He'd entered the whale a victim. He's coming out knowing God's victory, a saved child of God. Salvation, verse 9, comes from the Lord. Jonah doesn't say this because he's had a theology lesson in the whale. He says it because he's met God in the whale, in the pit. Does this make sense? He's been established with a new identity, from one running from God to a child of God living in partnership with his heavenly Father. Actually, the whale is a very good lesson to Jonah and to us, what we're meant to do. The Lord commanded the whale, and it obeyed perfectly. Alone, the human species, we often find ourselves saying to God, no thanks. The journey of Jonah, that as we'll see over the next 2 weeks, is far from over and far from perfect, is a journey where God calls him and us back to himself again and again and again. I finish with the ends of the aeroplane story I mentioned before. You might have picked up that it does have a happy end, because I was told the story by one of the passengers in the situation, so he survived. And he said that while a number of the passengers, as the alarm sounded and the voice, the scary voice saying, brace, brace, a lot of the passengers, including himself, turned to prayer. A few of them, in panic, clambered over other passengers to get near to the emergency exits. This is what we're not going to do in a minute for our fire drill. But it's actually apparently what they did. Anyway, after 30 seconds, true story, the alarm suddenly stops. The voice saying, brace, brace, stops. And the pilot's voice comes on. He says, ladies and gentlemen, deep apologies. One of the cabin crew stumbled in the turbulence and accidentally released the alarm. We're not going to crash. You don't need to brace. All is well. Slightly embarrassing for the cabin crew, but nothing compared to the embarrassment of those who'd clambered over women and children to get near the emergency exits. They sort of came back sheepishly and said to the children, could I come back? They said, no. The battle belongs to the Lord. We do not need to save ourselves by going for the emergency exits. In fact, we cannot save ourselves, as baptism is the beautiful sign of, as we have heard. There is a battle we are in. In fact, there are many battles. It's the battle for the establishing of God's kingdom, where his kingdom comes and his will is done here on earth as in heaven. For those who know that we pray to our Father in heaven. It's a battle for our very identity. For the God who wants to establish in you and me our identity as children of the King. A battle that belongs to the Lord. The God of heaven who made the sea and the land. Salvation comes from him. And in dying on a cross, our Savior, Jesus Christ, sheds his blood to save us. In rising from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ shows his power to establish us and invites us to call on his name, whatever distress we are in. Now, as the band come forward, we are going to declare in a song the same declaration of Jonah, that he is our salvation. The one who rescues. He has done and will do. this act of rescue that he's done supremely on the cross. And as a sign of crying out to him, if you wish to, we're going to send out collection bowls for a second time, not to take a collection of money, but to take a collection of our miseras with any letter you might have put on your sheet. Or if you wish to, just symbolically in your heart. And we're going to then put them in here as we sing this song, this song of praise, this song of declaration of who our Lord is, who has redeemed our life from the pit before he sends us out. Would you please stand? Father God, thank you that you are the same yesterday for Jonah, thousands of years ago, 2,000 and more years ago, 4,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Thank you that you are the same for Jonah as you are today to us, as you forever will be. You are our Redeemer. Thank you for Jesus, who descended to the dead, who descended deeper than any of us will go, with the promise that you have the power to raise the dead, to find the lost, to heal the sick. Thank you that you are our rescuer, our Redeemer. We praise your name and commit our lives to you.